It's amazing how every week God tells somebody else the same thing as he tells the speaker. I just thought, one of the verses I added to my sermon, just as I was finishing preparing, was, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Who was there at the start of the service? That's what we started off with. "This is the day the Lord has made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it." Does anybody ever go through trials? Yeah? Temptations? Anybody? Tests? You know, at least at some point in your life. Those who didn't put your hand up. Have you ever once been through a trial? Pardon? It's not a surprise, is it? Life's about, a lot of it's about trials and temptations and tough times. Some of you have probably had some this week. And, maybe every day. So, and it's not just Christians that go through trials, is it? Everybody does. Everybody goes through tough times. You know, either you do or somebody you know. Probably going through something right now, somebody you know, if not you. And if you've never had a trial yet in your life, I think you will do one day. Jesus said, you will have trials and tribulations. But he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Thing is, what we're going to do, you know, if we recognize, okay, life's, a lot of it's about trials, tough times, tough circumstances, storms. The thing is, what we're going to do about that? Are we going to go under the trials? Or are we going to put up with them? Are we going to get taught something by the trials? Which is kind of a Buddhist idea, not a Christian idea. How do you go on with that trial? I learn something in it. That's like a Buddhist idea, really. A Christian idea is this. Rejoice in your trials. Wow. I don't think I'm there yet. I've been a Christian a long time. And you know, when trials come, it's not about you, but my prayer life steps up. But the prayers are like this. End this trial, please. Will you take this away? You could say it drives you to your knees, but the Bible says rejoice in your trials, and that's tough, isn't it? But that's what God does. God is a happy God. I don't know what you think about the throne room in heaven and Father, Son, Holy Spirit, how they get on with each other. One thing I liked about the shack was how happy they were with each other, the three of them, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I thought it captured that very well, that book. So rejoicing in trials, is it possible? Well, today I'm not going to speak about trials as much as joy. That we're to be joyful. And our joy is not to depend on what's happening to us. It's not to depend on what we're going through at the moment. Anybody know Nehemiah 8:10? The misery of the Lord is your strength. I got that wrong. It's one of your favourite verses, George. How did I misquote it? The misery of the Lord is your strength. Of course, it's the joy of the Lord is your strength, isn't it? And, you know, some people think Christians are very good at being miserable. Experts at being miserable. Religious people. They're very good at being miserable. We're not religious, are we? We're joyful Christians. At least we want to be. At least that's where we want to get to. So I'm going to do a kind of Bible study on joy. I'm going to start with Romans chapter 5, verse 5. If you've got your Bibles, you may want to follow, or you might want to just listen, it's fine. Romans 5, 5. Well, Romans 5, 1 to 5 actually, first 5 verses. So Romans chapter 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, well, you think that was great to that point, but you go on to say something else, there's something else coming up, and you think, well, this can be even better than rejoicing in the glory of God. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Oh, do we? Which is the same as rejoicing in tribulations, really. So we glory in tribulations. So when something bad comes along, do you think, yes, that's great. Some of the saints in history have done. They've rejoiced when things are at their worst. I read 3 books by Teresa of Avila about, well, that's probably 19 years ago actually. Went on a weekend away to Living Waters, and some of you may have been there. I think it was 1999, and I taught on the 7 mansions of Teresa of Avila, or the interior castle of Teresa of Avila. Teresa of Avila was a Spanish lady, a nun. She lived in central Spain in the 16th century. But she had amazing experiences of God's presence. But through her life, she was ill all the time. She was never in good health. But she rejoiced throughout her life. And the books reveal that, how she rejoiced throughout her life. So the 7 mansions are... it likens your Christian life to a castle. Your soul is a castle. And right in the inner part of the castle is Jesus. The Holy of Holies, the sanctuary. That's right in the middle. But you're just in the outer courts. You've just come in. You become a Christian, you come into the outer courts. And Jesus says there's 7 of them. 7 mansions or 7 courts. And the aim is to get to the central one. That's where Jesus is. That's where the light is. That's where the joy is. That's where the love is and the peace is. But when you first become a Christian, I don't know about you, but I was very joyful when I first became a Christian. I remember coming home on the train from Derbyshire. I'd been to this conference, Christian conference, where it dawned on me that I was a Christian for the first time. And I was on the train and I was just so joyful. On the train, I could hardly contain myself. And I thought, wait till I tell my family, you know. It's so easy, all they've got to do is do what I did. And all my friends, I'll tell them, and they'll all jump in because it's so obvious. Do you know what I got back? They didn't. I told them all these things, and they didn't. They said, what? You've become a what? But I was so full of joy. But you know, that's just the initial joy when you become a Christian. And so in this outer mansion, she says, you're still close to the world. You could still get drawn back. You still get attracted by things you've just left behind. You know, friends who don't want to know you anymore because of the way you've changed. You think, well, I like those friends. I had a good time with those friends. Or reputation, your reputation's changed. Or the world offers you things that you think Christianity is not offering you. And so you feel tempted to go back out. And she says, those are reptiles. There are reptiles and things in the snakes in the outer court. You need to head on into the next bit. You know, you've had the initial joy. How do you enter each bit? By prayer, she says. So you pray and then you get into the first bit. But I want to get to the middle bit because I can hardly see the light from here. It's right over there. I want to get to that middle bit. And so I can't go through all the seven mansions, but she, it's a journey of the soul to be where God is. So that your soul is spending most of its time where God is. Do you know where joy is? Anybody know where joy is? It's in the presence of God. In your presence is fullness of joy. So that's where we want to be. That's where we want to be. That's how we want to live our Christian lives. In God's presence, where there's fullness of joy. And then maybe we'll be joyful in trials and temptations. So, Romans 5. Not only that, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance character, character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit, isn't it? Galatians 5:22, 9 fruits. It's the second one. Love, joy, peace. So, how are you going to get this joy that will make you joyful in tribulations? From the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Lord, release joy right now. Release joy right now in this room. Holy Spirit. We've worshipped you. We've come into your presence. Release joy, Lord, into people's spirits in this room right now. Lord, release it, Lord. We can't conjure up joy, but you can release joy into our lives. It's a fruit of your Spirit. I'm going to try and leave time at the end for a bit more prayer on that line. All right, this is a pretty obvious question, but does God want us to be joyful, do you think? Yes. Isaiah 65. Is my next passage. He doesn't want us to be experts in misery. He doesn't want the misery of the Lord to be our strength. Because the Lord's got no misery anyway. So the misery of the Lord can't be our strength. But he wants the joy of the Lord to be our strength. It's what makes me strong. You know, we've just been through a tough winter, haven't we? Well, I suppose we're still going through it anyway. People get a bit low in winter sometimes. Get a bit depressed, you know. Particularly when it's dark all the time. And we don't see the sun for a while. Scandinavian countries, you know, where it's dark for ages. A lot of suicide. A lot of people get depressed. We need the joy of the Lord to counteract those things. And sometimes I talk to myself, come on, be joyful. But you can't just do that. You've got to say, God, I'm going to come into your presence. Fill me with your joy, please. Hey, he likes answering that prayer. That's a prayer. You don't have to say, if it be your will, Lord, that I be joyful. This is his will. So Isaiah 65, verses 13 to 14. Therefore thus says the Lord God, behold, my servant shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my servant shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my servant shall rejoice. But you shall be ashamed. He's telling some people off here, punishing some people, but he's saying to those who follow him, you will eat, you'll drink, and you'll rejoice. Verse 14, behold, my servant shall sing for joy of heart. And then he carries on to tell the other people what's going to happen to them. But his people will sing for joy of heart. It's good this morning when it's singing. It'll lift your spirit when you're singing. Jesus, I love you, I worship and adore you. Glorify your name in all the earth. Does it lift you up? There's a few nodding heads. The rest of you? Does it lift you up? Good, good, good. And verse 18, same chapter. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. Verse 19, I will rejoice in Jerusalem. And joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. So God wants us to be joyful, and God himself is joyful. I will be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. If God gives you joy, can anyone take it away? No. Not if God's given you, you can't. But you can let it go. But if God gives it you, the devil can't take it away. There's only you can do that. By choices you make. No one can take your joy from you unless you allow them to. Jesus said, your sorrow will be turned to joy like a woman giving birth. Your heart will rejoice and no one will take your joy from you. That's great news, isn't it? No one will take your joy from you. Like a woman giving birth. I've never experienced that. Giving birth, I mean. But I was there, you know, and it does change pretty quickly to joy. From pain to joy. And although, you know, I didn't feel it, I could see it. And hear it. So like that. And no one can take that joy from you, Jesus said. How much joy will God give us? You might go around the room and say, well, you need about that much, I think, right? Melinda's had a tough week, so she'll have a bit more. He says, your measure shall be full. Fullness of joy. God wants to give you. John 16, verse 24. Your joy will be full. These things I've spoken to you, that your joy may be full. In Luke 10, 21, it says, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, actually. Luke 10, 21. Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit. That's where we get it from, isn't it? From the Holy Spirit. The joy that Jesus gives, this is another point, is different from joy you get from anywhere else. It says in the Bible that the joy that God gives us is better than the joy that people get when everything's going right for them. When their business is flourishing. When the crops are coming in. When the bank balance is growing. The joy I give you is better than that. Distinct from that. Just the same as peace. The peace that Jesus gives is not like the peace that the world gets. So is the joy. It's different. Wouldn't you like to experience it more than you do? I would. It's part of the kingdom. Romans 14, 17. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Another saint from the past, I mentioned Teresa of Avila before, Bernard of Clairvaux, he said this. Happy is he, and holy too, to whom it has been given in this mortal life, maybe rarely, maybe only once, for a brief moment only, to taste the highest kind of love. It is no merely human joy to lose oneself like this. So to be emptied of oneself, as though one had almost ceased to be at all, it is the bliss of heaven. Wow. Joy, if God gives you his joy today, it's like the bliss of heaven. When we pray at the end, I'm going to pray for that to happen. Sometimes people laugh when they get joy. Not surprising, is it? Should come up, shouldn't it? Should show somewhere if you're full of joy. You might laugh. You might smile at least. Martin Lloyd Jones did a sermon called Unspeakable Joy. It's based on 1 Peter 1:8. Because the Bible says it's unspeakable joy. It's inexpressible. You can't describe it. So instead, you laugh or smile or bubble up. feel good inside. Should we be guilty about feeling good inside when there's so much trouble in the world? No. Is it wrong to talk about joy when things are going wrong a lot? No. It's how to be joyful in tribulation. I wish I could do it more. Now, the enemy doesn't like you being joyful. He doesn't like you being happy. It's bad for his reputation. His kingdom doesn't like it. Doesn't want you to be happy. John 10 tells us that. John 10:10. What does the enemy come to do? Kill, steal and destroy. It's a stinker, isn't he? He's a wretch. Hated. Comes to kill, steal and destroy. Wants to steal your joy. Wants to kill your joy. He's a killjoy. The biggest killjoy there ever was. He wants to destroy your joy. But Jesus says, that's what the enemy wants to do, but I've come that you'll have fullness, abundant life. So we're not going the enemy's way. Things come from inside. Wow. There's nobody there. What happened then? It's just a bit I thought I'd slip in. Make sure you're all awake. Fun? It may have did, it did. Weird. See? Lots to steal and destroy. No chance, I'm carrying on. So Blaise Pascal, you may know these words, he was converted, Blaise Pascal, and he wrote a note on the day he was converted. He was up till late at night, and he wrote this note on a piece of paper. He put it in his inside pocket of his jacket. I think he sewed the pocket up. Anyway, when he died, they found this piece of paper in his jacket, and it said this: fire, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, certainty, emotion, joy, peace, God of Jesus Christ, God shall be my God, oblivion of the world and of everything except God, joy, tears of joy. That's his conversion. Joyful people are strong people. Religious people made a fine art of being miserable. But the key to being passionate and joyful is to keep drinking at the river of God's pleasure. When Jonathan Edwards was experiencing revival in the 1700s, people criticized him. He said, "You're too joyful. You keep laughing all the time. I think you have distemper of the brain," they said to him. And he said, "Let my brain be evermore possessed by this distemper." His wife was overcome by joy for 5 days. She couldn't function. They wanted her to make some meals, you know, while they got on with the meetings, but she couldn't make any meals. So sometimes she tried. Sometimes as she was passing the door, somebody would mention the Holy Spirit and she'd floored again. She couldn't do anything. She'd collapse on the floor. Geisha Brough was during the Toronto revival. His wife, Janice, she was like that for 3 days. She couldn't function. She was just laughing all the time. He said to her one day, "I've got some visitors coming. Could you prepare a meal?" And the door opened one day and she came in with some fish and chips wrapped up in newspaper and threw them on the table. That was all she could prepare. Sometimes people get overcome by joy. Teresa said, "Oh Lord, from sour-faced saints deliver me." C.S. Lewis said, "Joy is the serious business of heaven." C.S. Lewis's testimony is called Surprised by Joy. He's running away from God. He calls God the Hound of Heaven. The Hound of Heaven was after him. He didn't want to become a Christian. He thought Christians were miserable. He didn't want to be like them. So he's running away from God. And he sat on top of a double-decker bus one day when the Hound of Heaven hit him. And he said, I surrendered. I thought there's no point in running anymore. I surrendered. And he said, and I was surprised by joy. I thought, I'm surrendering to a miserable life. But I was overcome by joy. John Ortberg says, joylessness is a serious sin. Wow, I never thought of it that way, have you? Joylessness for a Christian is a serious sin. We're meant to be joyful. Gerald Coates said a lot of people come out of church looking as though they've just been shot or about to be shot. Joylessness is a serious sin. Francis de Sales said the evil one is pleased with sadness and melancholy. He likes that. He desires we like him. He's miserable. You know, sin makes you miserable, doesn't it? He's the father of sin, father of lies. Jesus was full of joy in the Holy Spirit. Prayer meetings. Meant to be joyful, prayer meetings. Isaiah 56, my people shall be joyful in their prayer room. Teresa said this, why do you shut the door on God so that he cannot give you the joy of prayer? Prayer is the door to the great favours he bestows. If you close the door on him, I don't see how he can bestow joy upon you. When we pray in a little while, let's open the door to him. Let's be open to him. Because how can he bestow something on you if you close the door to him? For though he may delight in your soul, and he does, and though he may wish to bestow delight on your soul, there's no way for him to do so if you do not desire it. If you don't desire his favours, then he will not violate your will. He wants you to desire his favours. How often do you think we should be joyful? Sunday mornings? Monday nights? When the team wins? Well, if my joy was dependent on that, yeah. But how often should we be joyful? Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. Always. If I'm not feeling joyful, I better do something about it. I didn't know Jonathan was going to be in. Is he in? He was there before. There he is. I was going to read this testimony from one of the gather meetings. This is a non-Christian girl came from Cambridge to a Rivers and Robots gather event last year. Sent an email afterwards. Well, I think the Christian girl sent the email about her friend who'd come with her. I really should be asleep, but I just wanted to share some encouragement from the gather event. Because I'm so excited about what God's doing. I just want to worship and pray. My non-Christian friend encountered the presence of God before we'd even left her house to get to the meeting. We listened to your album, The Eternal Son. She then encountered God tangibly at the event. And said she felt so happy. And something was going on in her heart, and it kept welling up. She's never been to anything like it. And she said, it was amazing. She told her mum all about it, and she got home. She also said she really enjoyed what was shared by Nathan and Lucy, and that the spontaneous worship was like, everyone just had it. It made sense to her. She said to me today she wants to go again, and she wants to hang out with my friends again. God's really opening her eyes to see him. Thank you so much for organizing the event, etc., etc. Non-Christians, when they see your joy, they're attracted. If you're miserable, joyless, they're not attracted. They're attracted by joy because, you know, there's a lot of happy people around. Like we said at the beginning, everybody's going through stuff. You can be joyful in tribulation. That's a massive witness to the world. Revival brings joy. When revivals happen, there's lots of joy. Those of us who were touched by the Toronto thing, sometimes, you know, we just couldn't stop laughing. We didn't know why. Nobody had said anything funny. I remember once before Toronto, we had an all-night prayer meeting in that room in there. 1991 it was. Middle of the night, about 2:30, we all started chuckling. And it got infectious, and everybody in the room started chuckling. You know, what were we laughing at? We didn't know what we were laughing at, but we knew we could feel God's spirit in the room. We thought, God's making us laugh. And so when I was a travel agent back in 94, and all these people said, can you book me a ticket to Toronto? And the next call would say, can you book me a ticket to Toronto? And the next person, can you book? I said, what's going on in Toronto? Well, there's a revival there, and people are laughing. I thought, I've come across that before, laughing in God's presence. I can understand that. I remember being on a row with Frank and Bill Maley, and we're on the floor laughing, weren't we? Couldn't get back on our seats. Strange, but nice. So revival brings joy. Daniel Rowlands was a preacher in Wales in the 18th century. He went around Wales preaching just about the same time as Wesley was going around England and Whitfield. The joy that accompanied the release that came from his gospel preaching resulted in many people jumping for joy in the meetings. People would start jumping up and down for joy in the meetings. Loud praisings. He didn't encourage it, but he didn't discourage it either. So he let them jump for joy. And some of his followers encouraged it, like William Williams, who wrote the hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah. He liked the jumping for joy. He said, go on, do more. Some of his friends in England, though, were uneasy about it. So one good man called John Thornton Esquire, he wrote to Rowlands about it, requesting him to put an end to the practice of people jumping for joy in his meetings. Rowlands' reply is very interesting. He said, you English speak against us Welsh and say we're jumpers. But we the Welsh have something to allege against you. And we say to you, sleepers. Thornton dropped the subject. So let's bring this into time of prayer. Where do we go to find this joy? Psalm 16:11, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's where we go for joy, into his presence. And then we ask the Holy Spirit, because he's the joy giver, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Richard Roll, who was a Yorkshire mystic, imagine that, Yorkshire, and a mystic. He said people used to accuse him of being too happy. So it's just the joy of the Lord. I couldn't stop it. Yorkshire's changed since then. So as we move into prayer now, we're going to the banqueting table. Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 4. Get us some music. He brought me to his banqueting table. And his banner over me is love. Or some versions say to the wine cellar. He brought me to the wine cellar. In the Bible, wine signifies joy and delight. So to enter into the wine cellar or go to the banqueting table is to be where there's joy. Is it possible to be joyful in a pain-filled world? Yes. But it takes heroics. You can give in, or you can be courageous and heroic and ask God to fill you. It takes defiance. So we're back to where we started. This is the day the Lord's made. I will rejoice in it. Which day is that? It's every day, isn't it? So it's now. This is the day the Lord's made. I will rejoice in it. So I'm going to pray now. Let's get before God. Don't bother about anybody who's around you or next to you. Just think, I want to be at the banqueting table. I want to be a receiver of the joy. And I don't want to have a shut door, but God's standing there. I want my heart open. I don't want to hinder Him from bestowing upon me the joy of the Lord. Feel free to stand or kneel or to stay where you are or move around. But let's let the Holy Spirit operate right now. Holy Spirit, come. Joy giver. Come, Lord. We want to be people who learn how to rejoice in tribulation. We learn how to rejoice even when things are not looking good circumstantially. Lord, the joy you give doesn't depend on those things. The enemy's come to steal, but you've come to give. You've come to give life abundant, fullness of joy. And in your presence there's fullness of joy. And at your right hand the pleasures forevermore. So Holy Spirit, we believe now you hear our prayer. We believe you want to give us joy in the Holy Spirit. So let's just start just receiving, believing that God is here, we're in His presence, and He wants to fill us up. Fill us up, Lord, glorious King. I'm opening the door of my heart to you, Lord. Your joy is better than anything the world can offer. It's better than when the crops are coming in, when the harvest is good. Your joy is better. We were like those who dreamed. We were like those who rejoiced. We were like those who laughed. Joy of the Lord is your strength. Yeah. This is the day. This is the day. I will rejoice. I will rejoice. Choose to rejoice, Lord. Yeah. Holy, 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 before a joyful God. Come before a happy God. Pour your Spirit into us again, Lord. Pour the Spirit, love, joy, and peace into us again, Lord. We want to exhibit the fruits of your Spirit, love, joy, and peace. Oh, Spirit. Rejoice with the saints who've gone before. Rejoice with the cloud of witnesses who've gone before. They're rejoicing. The angels are rejoicing. Drink of the river of his pleasures. Right hand, pleasures forevermore. The presence of the Lord is fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Deliver us. Deliver us, Lord, sour faced saints. Let us not be sour faced saints. Let us be joyful saints. Joyful saints. Let us reflect Jesus. Let us reflect Jesus to the world around. Joy of the Lord is your strength. Rejoice in the Lord always. Happy is the man whose trust is in you. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man. Drinks by the river. River of your pleasures. Yes, Lord. Fill people up in this room right now, Lord. Fill them with you. God of glory. Thank you for the banqueting table, Lord. Thank you for the banqueting table. Thank you that your banner over us is love. I just want to say this, that asking to be filled with the Lord's joy is not a selfish thing. It's a thing that gives glory to God. He wants us to be satisfied in Him. He is most glorified when we are most satisfied in Him. So fill us, Lord, because it's You we want to have the glory. It's You we want to have the glory, Lord. So Lord, I ask You to seal seal what's been done today. Any joy you've poured into our spirits, Lord, we know that nobody can take it away, because you're the joy giver. You're the joy giver. So Lord, seal that in our spirits, I pray. Help us to be people who can not just survive tribulations and trials, but rejoice in them. Supernaturally, Lord. We can't do that ourselves. Not human. But supernaturally, Lord, help us to rejoice in tribulation. Help us to rejoice in life. Help us to rejoice most of all in you, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We love your presence. Let your right hand a pleasure forevermore. Amen.